Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest joining us from Chicago, the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs, Pat Hughes. And Pat, the Giants and the Cubs, it's been a while since they've played. They have not played this year until they finally got their series underway on Thursday, and these two teams are battling for the postseason, so it's a great series. Before I even talk about the Cubs with you, since you hadn't seen the Giants, what were your thoughts just taking a look at them, you know, kind of taking a look at the stat sheet for the first time and seeing what this ball club is all about?
Well, I knew they were one of the best offensive teams in the National League, Joe, and then I saw it firsthand myself last night. A lot of power up and down that lineup. In Game 1, Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford both hit opposite field two-run home runs. Buster Posey did not play until making a pinch-hitting appearance in the ninth. Hunter Pence hit the ball hard three times. There's just a lot of thunder in that Giants lineup, and you know, they've always had good pitching. So it's a good combination they have. They score a lot of runs. I think they're second in the league in run scoring behind Colorado, and their pitching staff is certainly in the top half in the National League as well. So the Giants certainly are a force to be contended with.
Well, I know the Cubs have had some troubles as far as their team batting average and all that, but you wouldn't know it early in the game against Chris Heston, and he couldn't throw strikes, but there are a number of players in that lineup that look like they could provide some thunder, especially Kyle Schwarber, this kid, this sensation, only 25 games into his major league career, six homers already, and he hit a bomb yesterday. I don't know, that might have gone further out if the wind wasn't blowing in, but how exciting is Schwarber to everybody?
He's very exciting. He's got a big league swing already. He's a former All-State football linebacker from the state of Ohio. He grew up between the Cincinnati and Dayton area. But he's tough. He's hard-nosed. He's very smart. He's eager to learn. His defense is improving almost day by day as a catcher. And he's also played a little left field. But you're right. He has injected a lot of offense into the Cubs lineup. So many games this year, it's been Anthony Rizzo and sometimes Chris Bryant, and you're hoping for the rest of the guys to come through. And it's always nice for a guy like Rizzo to have a little bit of support in that lineup. But Schwarber seems like the real deal, but as you said, Joe, the key thing that you may have mentioned was 25 games into his big league career. It's a little too early to put him on the All-Star team, but so far, so good.
How difficult is it to learn how to catch really at the major league level? I mean, he looks pretty good, but, you know, like you said, not that much experience behind the plate, trying to learn with a team that's in a race to try to get to the postseason.
Yeah, he's done some catching in college, and he did some Indiana University, and then he's done some catching in the minor leagues. But, Joe, he was only drafted about 14 months ago in June of 2014, so he has only been a professional for a short time. Here's an example of his attitude, though. As soon as he was drafted, he did not even wait around to get the contract all finalized. I think he and the Cubs agreed to a deal, and he said, that's good enough for me. He packed his bags and headed out to Boise, Idaho, and immediately began playing rookie league ball. He hit, I think, a home run in his first game. He hit about 500 after about five games. The Cubs said, that's enough. We've seen enough there. Let's move you up to Class A ball. And that's really been the way it's been with Schwarber all the way. He immediately does good things, and he was so good this year that they had to bring him up to the big leagues.
Wow, what a great start for him. You know, Chris Bryant was the guy that everybody was talking about at spring training because he was tearing it up, hitting all those home runs. I think he hit something like 12 home runs in spring training. And then he wasn't with the big league club initially. Tell us a little bit about what happened there, and whether or not, you know, that was a mistake. How did that affect Bryant as he went through this first season in the major leagues?
Well, the situation you're talking about, Joe, was in spring training. It was just a simple business deal whereby, had he started the season, he would have become a free agent a year earlier. So it was simple business by the Cubs and not a big deal. He missed the first 12 games, and now he'll be under Cubs control for an extra full year. So it made perfect sense, and any businessman with any sense would have done exactly the same thing. He's got talent. He's a great kid, It's interesting in this series, you got Matt Duffy of the Giants and Chris Bryant of the Cubs, both rookies, both play third base, and what's really amazing about both kids, they are hitting in the middle of their team's order in a pennant race. You don't normally see rookies jump into the big leagues and go right into one of those three, four, or five spots in the batting order, but both Duffy and Bryant have done that. Bryant has driven in 61. I believe Duffy has driven in 51. They are the top two rookie run producers in all of baseball. But it's exciting to see young guys in a pennant race hit right in the middle of that order. You don't see it very often, Joe.
We'll have more with the voice of the Cubs, Pat Hughes, right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McLonan at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
In all your time with the Cubs, and you've been there about, 20 years now, have you ever seen this kind of optimism around a team as far as just the future, the ceiling that exists with all these young players that are on the Cubs?
Probably not. The last decade was pretty good. The Cubs won division titles in 2003, 2007, and 2008. But you're right, those were mainly with veteran-type ball players and ball clubs. Now this youth movement, there is a lot of optimism. The ironic thing about the youth movement is the fact that 61-year-old manager Joe Maddon might be the most important guy in the whole organization. He has been such a breath of fresh air, positive, optimistic, hilarious, off the wall, knows when to have fun, knows when to get down to business, and I think he is just one of the best managers I've ever seen.
Well, he might be the most intellectual and eccentric manager in baseball. What do you think? I mean, how much does he maybe motivate everybody around the club? I'm not even just talking about players. I mean, anybody who's around him, including yourself.
You know, he's unique. You're right. He's extremely bright. But the way he stays optimistic is so impressive. For example, early this year, we played a four-game series at PNC against the Pirates. The Cubs won the first two, lost the last two. And the last two losses were by one run, real tough losses. We get on the plane. Joe is smiling from ear to ear. This is after we've lost two really heartbreaking games. He says, you know what? If we play that hard all season, we're going to be just fine. I couldn't be happier than I am with the guys. Now, you don't see that, Joe, from many big league managers after a tough loss. It's usually doom and gloom and frowning and scowling. But Joe, here he was saying, look, sure we lost, but the guys played their hearts out. And if we play like that all year, we're going to be fine. And now here we are in August, and we are fine.
Wow, he's definitely one of the best managers in baseball. Now, the Cubs did spend a lot of money on John Lester. He's going to pitch against the Giants tonight. And, for a while there, he was pretty much one of the best pitchers in baseball. This year, I think he's had his ups and downs, you can tell us. I mean, at times it seems like he's been dominating, and other times maybe not. So what do you think Lester has to do to kind of get back to being himself?
Well, you're right. He has been a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of performance, but he's coming off of a very good month of July when his ERA was about 1.5. He set a record two starts ago against Colorado, and I don't have to tell Giants fans how good the Colorado offense is. He struck out 14 Rockies in one game at Wrigley. It was the most ever by a left-hander in Cubs franchise history, and this franchise has been around since 1876. So he's pitched really well of late. I like the way he grinds out ball games. He keeps everything down. He keeps everything moving. He throws cut fastballs and sliders and sinkers. Very few straight balls and very few pitches over the middle of the plate. He's fun to watch when he's on.
We'll continue the conversation with Pat Hughes, play-by-play announcer with the Chicago Cubs, after this. It was time for a new pair of snow skis, and I couldn't be happier with my decision to buy them at Demo Sport, where the experience was great, and I found out that they not only have skis, but they have snowboards and snow apparel. And for the summer, get ready with water skis, wakeboards, stand-up paddle boards, and all of your land sports needs like bikes and scooters, and can even get sunglasses there. Demo Sport, 1101 Francisco Boulevard in San Rafael. Call them at 415 415- 855-454-3500. DemoSport, committed to getting you the gear you need. One thing I noticed watching the game on television is the big difference at Wrigley Field as far as the scoreboards. I mean, there's all kinds of scoreboards now. You got the old one, but you got two now big electronic boards. How much are the fans and yourself, everybody, enjoying that?
I think very much. A lot of information. It's a new feature. I think it also, in terms of how it affects the game, Joe, I think the big board in left has minimized the effect of the wind blowing in.
Huh.
There have been a few games this year where the wind has blown in, and yet balls were still leaving the park in left and left center field, and I think the new video board has a lot to do with that. One, getting back to Lester for a minute, his mound adversary today is Mike Leake for the Giants, and Leake, when he pitched for Cincinnati, he was one of the toughest guys against the Cubs that we've seen in the last 5 years. So I think Leake's something like, I don't know, maybe 10-2 or 10-3, somewhere in that neighborhood lifetime against the Cubs. So the Cubs have their work cut out for them today against Mike Leake.
Well, he certainly is a great pickup for the Giants. As we finish up here, I wanted to ask you about your website, baseballvoices.com, and this is definitely unique. You can get the CDs as well with the legendary voices of baseball throughout history, and two of the better ones, Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons. That's available. So tell us a little bit about Baseball Voices and Russ and Lon.
Well, I loved Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons when I was a kid in the Bay Area growing up in the 1960s. And the Giants were my team, and Mays and McCovey and Cepeda, Marichal and Perry and Philippe Alou. And it was just a great time to be a Giants fan. And Joe, whenever you are a young fan and you're listening to games, you think that the announcers that are calling the game are the greatest announcers in the whole world. And I certainly thought that of Russ and Lon. But you know what? As I got older and I became a broadcaster myself, and I started listening to all kinds of different announcers, Russ and Lon are two of the greatest of all time. Still, I would put them way up there on any list of great baseball play-by-play announcers. I know that the Giants have John Miller and Dave Fleming, two very talented radio guys right now. And John's already in the Hall of Fame, and Dave might get there someday. But the Russ and Lon CD, it's available at baseballvoices.com. It is simply a commemorative audio tribute to both guys, and it's got all kinds of calls that they made of highlights involving Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and the 1962 pennant race. And Russ Hodges, of course, made the famous Bobby Thompson home run call of 1951. There's also a few calls from Lon and his football days. Lon with his World Series work with the Oakland A's in 1989. It's just it'll bring back a lot of memories. I think that's the best way to describe my project, Joe. Baseball Voices is all about memories on several different levels. It's memories of your favorite team, memories of your favorite ball players, your favorite announcers, but the most special memory of all is the memory of you that you have of yourself at a certain age in your life. They're very special.
Yeah, and Russ Hodges, Lon Simmons, I mean, they were just the greatest to listen to. And everybody in Chicago loves listening to you, Pat. Tell us a little bit about when you do get into a moment where it's big and you know that call is going to be heard. What goes through your mind? I mean, is there anything that you can prepare yourself as far as that moment to be able to make sure that you make the call the way that you want to make it?
I think it's all about concentration, Joe. It's really funny. I was reading a book by Dick Enberg a few years ago, and he said he would make calls during a broadcast, and then driving home, the radio station would be replaying the highlights. And he said, you know what? My concentration was so intense that I didn't even remember saying that word or that phrase or that particular call. And I can kind of relate to that. You get so much involved and your concentration is so intense that you are trying to have the words tumble out of your mouth in the proper order. You're trying to add inflection, excitement. You don't want to build the excitement too quickly. For example, on a home run call, you can't mislead the audience into thinking the ball is going to be a home run and then have the guy catch it at the warning track. So there are a lot of factors that go into it. you can't really ever plan out word for word what you're going to say, because that's not what we do. We speak extemporaneously, and we just react to the moment. You try to do the best you can. You're not always going to be, it's not always going to be exactly the way you want it to be, but that's part of the challenge of doing baseball play-by-play. There's no script. You're not reading this. You're performing live, and you're just doing the best you can, and you have to just let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you do a fantastic job, Pat, and you've been doing it for a long time, and everybody here in the Bay Area is proud to call you one of our own since you come from the Bay Area, and we'll be seeing you soon. I look forward to it at the end of the month. The Giants and the Cubs get together again at AT&T Park. Thank you so much.
Joe, you're more than welcome, and I've heard your play-by-play, and it's excellent. So those words coming from you are very special to me, and thank you for having me on your show.
That's Pat Hughes, play-by-play announcer with the Chicago Cubs. We'll be podcasting again on Tuesday as the Giants are at AT&T Park taking on the Houston Astros. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.